radio has changed our lives and possibly saved our lives.
This is P.K. Subban of the Nashville Predators.
This is Philip Forsberg of the Nashville Predators.
Hi, this is Pete Weber, the Nashville Predators. Welcome to Smashville.
Now, broadcasting live from high atop the WNSR Broadcasting Tower. And against all better judgment, it's time for Predneck Nation Radio.
Everybody loves the soldiers until they come home and stop fighting.
The Renegades of Puck are ready to take you on an all-skate around the NHL with all the news and updates you need.
Start playing with some jam in here. Let's go.
And now, here's your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Saulnier.
It's time for another episode of Predneck Nation Radio on a game day in Smashville. Cold start to the day, but supposed to be a beautiful game day here in Smashville as the Nashville Predators back home from a West Coast trip. Welcome in the Toronto Maple Leafs. The Preds currently sit second place in the Central Division. 73 games played on the season, 41-27-5. That's good for 87 points. That would see the Preds 3 points currently behind the Winnipeg Jets for first place in the Central Division. The Winnipeg Jets have played 72 games. St. Louis in third place has also played 72 games. They are currently sitting at 82 points, which is 5 points behind the Nashville Predators. The Toronto Maple Leafs, the opponent tonight for the Nashville Predators. This is the second and final regular season meeting between these two teams. The Maple Leafs sit in third place in the Atlantic Division. After 72 games, they are 43-24-5. That is good for 91 points. They are, however, 4 points behind the Bruins for second place, 15 points out of first place behind the Tampa Bay Lightning, who have already clinched a playoff spot this season. On the road, Toronto 21-10-4, and they have scored 259 goals this season. The Nashville Predators 22-13-1 at home, and they are much better defensively as they have only given up 195 goals on the entire season, and that is right near the bottom of the Western Conference. For this Nashville Predators team, 2-1 on a recent West Coast road trip. Tonight, they welcome in the Maple Leafs. Thursday, the Penguins. And then Saturday night in Winnipeg. First place will be on the line in the Central Division. And then they will head off to Minnesota and Pittsburgh. And then Columbus, Buffalo, Vancouver, Chicago. And the schedule is completely wrapped up at that point in time. I said this is the second of two regular season meetings between these teams. Well, it was back on January the 7th when Nashville went into Toronto and won 4-0. Pekarinen got the shutout, 18 saves in the game. Ekholm, Subban, Sissons, and Fiala each with a goal. It was one of the Preds' most impressive total efforts of the season when they went into Toronto. Now, this Maple Leafs team, they have one of the most impressive young cores in the entire NHL. 7th in the league on the power play, 12th on the penalty kill. 2nd goals for 3.60 goals against. They are 16th at 3.0. And most recently, on the 9th, it was a 3-2 win at Edmonton. Then the next game was a 6-2 loss versus Tampa Bay. A 5-4 loss versus Chicago on the 13th. On the 15th, a 7-6 win versus Philadelphia. And most recently, a 6-2 loss at Ottawa. Sparks, the backup, got the start in that game. He was 38 of 44, and the Leafs play again Wednesday at Buffalo. They do have some injury issues right now, especially on the defensive side of things. Jake Gardner and Travis DeMont, they are both out. Kapanen's day-to-day. Hyman also is listed as day-to-day. For the Nashville Predators, they are ranked 30th in the league on the power play, 13th on the penalty kill, 17th goals for 2.95 per game in goals against. They are 5th in the league, 2.66 per game. Dan Hamhuis, Mika Silomaki, both still on injured reserve. Good morning and welcome in Predneck Nation Radio. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Saulnier. All the Renegades of Puck in the trench this morning. Mastrodamus in the second period, Felder in the third. The ultimate Predator going to get you all fired up here before the end of the first first period. Remember, you can always check us out, WNSR.com. You can always give us a like on Facebook, a follow on Twitter at Predneck Nation. You can listen to this radio show live at 5 on game days, encore presentations at 6 when that is possible, and also in an on-demand world, SoundCloud and iTunes. We are always there and available for you. So thank you so much for jumping in the trench with us this morning, talking all things Nashville Predators hockey. When you look at the stats for this Toronto Maple Leafs team, impressive. Mitch Marner, 72 games, 24 goals and 61 assists, 85 total points. 16 of those assists come on the power play. Of course, you know John Tavares. He's gotten to 40 goals already this season, sitting at 79 points in total. 8 of those goals come on the power play. Auston Matthews at 34 goals. Andreas Johnsson at 20 goals. And the list goes on and on. This Maple Leafs team is highly impressive. Frederik Andersen, 53 games played, 34-14-4, 2.75 goals against average, a .918 save percentage and one shutout on the season. Sparks got the last start and took the loss, 7-7-1 on the year, 3-2-4 on the goals against, and a .902 save percentage. The Nashville Predators, after this West Coast road trip, Ryan Johansson still leading the team in scoring, 47 assists now on the season after 71 games played in total, 58 points, 15 of those assists coming on the power play. Roman Josi still second on the team in scoring. He has also now reached 40 assists on the season. He has 55 total points, 10 power play assists. Philip Forsberg's at 25 goals. Victor Arvidsson now at 31, only two shy of the single season franchise record. And I don't think there's any doubt that Victor Arvidsson's going to get to that number 33 and probably beyond. Matthias Ekholm's at 34 assists and 42 points. And Ryan Ellis now up to 31 assists and 37 points on the season. Craig Smith at 19 goals. Nick Nino's at 15. Sissons 13, and Yarncroak is sitting at 10. Pekka Rinne, after 49 games played this season, 25-18-3, a .251 goals against average, a .913 save percentage, and one of his three shutouts on the year coming against tonight's opponent, the Toronto Maple Leafs. UC Saros 16-9-2, a .262 goals against average, a .915 save percentage, and two shutouts on the season. Looking forward to a very good hockey game tonight, interconference matchup between two playoff teams. What we had the other night, though, to close out the road trip. The road trip started about as bad as it could go with the loss in Anaheim, but the Preds recovered, took care of business in L.A., and set themselves up for a chance to take 4 out of total 6 points and go 2-1, which is what we were all expecting and hoping for on this West Coast road trip, by closing it out on a Saturday night in San Jose. Just glad that this San Jose game was the Saturday night game and not the L.A. game, because at least this one was a good hockey game. We go and we look at the lines in San Jose to close out the trip. Forsberg, Johansson, and Arvidsson, of course, as you come to expect. And Granlund, Bonino, and Simmons, your new second line. Yarncroak, Sisson, Smith, Boyle, Goudreau, and Grimaldi. No Kyle Turris. Healthy scratch again for this game. Josi and Ellis, Ekholm and Subban, Irwin and Weber. UC Saros gets his third start of the season against the San Jose Sharks. Just 39 seconds into the game, UC Saros gets his first touch when he makes a save on Nyquist, and it wouldn't take long before the Preds take a 1-0 lead at 107. Colton Sissons picks up his 13th of the season, and he is suddenly picking things back up. Yarncroak shoots, and then from high, Smith is crashing. Sissons puts in the rebound. Smith with a nice backhand scoring chance on the initial rebound, and then they put the puck into the net. The Preds have a 1-0 lead in San Jose. At 3 minutes, Irwin's going to the box. 2 minutes for interference. Bonino is doing good work on the penalty kill during the first PK unit, and Yarncroak doing good work on the second penalty kill unit. Only one shot on goal in total for the Sharks. At 5:59, Simmons and Haley go to the box, 5 minutes each. Plus, the Sharks pick up a second minor penalty, 2 minutes for roughing. This puts the Predators on the power play. Boyle can't convert on a chance from the side of the crease. And then Johansson, he's going to pick up a 2 minute slashing penalty right after that scoring chance. So a 4-on-4 for a total of 143. 10:51, UC Saros has to make a big save on Hurdle in close. 13:51, Jones stops Ekholm. 17:37, Johansson's shot is tipped by Smith in front of the net, but it won't go. Forsberg's hitting the crossbar at 17:54 at 19:39. Sharks with some pressure, and Saros a big save on Burns. The Preds get one more opportunity just as the period is about to expire, and Jones makes a stop on Josi. End of the first period in San Jose. The Nashville Predators with a 1-0 lead and out shooting San Jose 14-11. Into the second period, we see a response by the San Jose Sharks. Myers on the board, tying this game up at one apiece with his 27th of the season. Shot from the point by Ryan leaves a big rebound. Pavelski puts a cross crease pass to Meyer for the easy finish. We see Arvidsson respond for the Nashville Predators immediately afterwards, regaining the one-goal lead. Now 2-1 for the Nashville Predators on Victor Arvidsson's 30th of the season. Forsberg's shot pass is redirected by Arvidsson at the top of the crease. Sweet screen, and while Victor Arvidsson celebrating, takes a little bit of a spear. This went completely unnoticed by just about everybody, but, you know, sometimes those Sharks. Nashville now a 2-1 lead in San Jose. 6:35, Saros, two saves on Nyquist in close. The Sharks follow with another series of chances, and this is their best pressure yet of the game. At 7:09, Sissons going to the box, 2 minutes for slashing, and there are zero shots on goal for San Jose on this power play as the Preds are very disruptive on the penalty kill. At 12:59, Thornton's going to the box, 2 minutes for cross-checking. Sissons is going to the box, 2 minutes for cross-checking as well. I don't understand why Colton Sissons is going to the box. He really did not do anything. This was a referee calling based on a crowd reaction. We've got a 4-on-4 situation. 15:05, the Preds do have a 3-on-2, but it is stopped by Jones at 16:17. Saros save on Kane off of the rush at 16:36. Josi's going to the box, 2 minutes for interference, but Myers is also going to the box, 2 minutes for embellishment, or as we like to call it, diving. Another 4-on-4 situation, and San Jose is picking up the tying goal. Thornton, his 15th of the year. Burns drives the net, passes for the redirect to Thornton at the top of the crease, and San Jose converts. We've got a 2-2 hockey game going to the end of the second period. San Jose now out shooting Nashville 21-20. In the start of the third period, these two teams came out really getting after each other, and the hockey was highly intense, as you would expect between these two playoff teams. Everything was being played between the circles over the course of about the first 5 minutes. The Preds start to gain a little bit of momentum, and at 7:02, Forsberg's got his 25th of the season. It's a wraparound attempt and some jam, and it goes into the net high. At first, nobody was quite sure, but the puck most definitely goes into the net. The Preds hold a 3-2 lead now on the road in San Jose. At 8:49, Granlund's got a scoring chance in close. At 10:35, Sissons has a shot, and it's stopped by Jones. And then we see at 11 minutes, San Jose picking up another penalty for cross-checking, but their penalty kill is very strong, and the Preds are unable to generate anything. 15:17, Josi's got a shot. It's stopped by Jones. Rebound stuck in the skates. Nobody can do anything about it. At 17:15, Pavelski gets all twisted up, can't handle the puck in the slot. And at 17:48, Josi Saros makes a save on a deflected puck near the top of the crease. We hit the empty net scenario with 2 minutes to go, and Victor Arvidsson picks up his 31st of the season on a breakaway, finishes off into the empty net, and the Preds have a 4-2 lead. That would be your final. Nashville outshoots San Jose 30-26 in this game, and easily one of the top five games of the entire season for the Nashville Predators. One hell of an effort start to finish in this one. That was a full 60, and that was working hard at all times. I give you the quick list just by date, not by my personal ranking. On the 11th of October, a 3-0 win versus Winnipeg. On the 31st of October, a 4-1 win at Vegas. On the 11-19, a 3-2 win versus Tampa Bay. On the 7th of January, a 4-0 win at Toronto, and at San Jose on Saturday night to that list for the Nashville Predators' top five overall performances of the season. Tonight, a very good opponent as well from the Eastern Conference. No letdown for the Nashville Predators. They are 3 points out of first place, and they have to continue working hard. Mastrodamas, he'll be here to talk to me about that in just a moment in the second period, then Felder in the third period. But you know, the ultimate Predator is here to get you all fired up. up for game day in Smashville.
Ooh, yeah, Charlie. Tonight is 90s night, so I thought I'd throw it back a little old school and go back and pay a little homage, if you will, to one of my favorites from the 80s and 90s. That's right, Ultimate tonight. Ultimate is the Macho Predator. That's right, baby. Yeah, can you dig it? Tonight is 90s night, and Toronto is gonna have a little time warp of their own, because they're gonna go back to the 90s when they weren't as good as everybody thought they were. And tonight they gotta face the Nashville Predators. Yeah, can you dig it? And this is a Predators team that just came back from California with 4 of total 6 points. Granted, they weren't the 4 that we thought we were gonna get, but it doesn't matter, because the cream rises to the top. Ooh, yeah. And all of Redneck Nation can see that the cylinders, they're popping, baby. They're popping. You gotta snap into it like you gotta snap into the Toronto Maple Leafs. Yeah. All the cylinders are coming together. And what's gonna happen, Macho Maniacs, is that this team is finally finding its groove again. That groove that we had, baby, through the last part of the season last year, going into the first part of the season this year. Dig it! When we went on a 13-game streak and nobody could stop the madness. Nobody could stop the madness. And Toronto, you think that you're gonna come and stop this train? Well, I'm the conductor of this train, and this train is going straight through to the Stanley Cup. Ooh, yeah! So what you gonna do, Toronto, when the Mega Maniacs go crazy in Bridgestone, and we show that nothing, and I mean nothing, can stop the madness? Ooh, yeah, Prednik Nation, can you dig it? Snap into it, and I'll see you tonight for 90s night. Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, Elizabeth, come here, baby, come here, Elizabeth, yeah, baby, yeah.
Hi, this is Victor Arvidsson of the Nashville Predators. You're listening to Prednik Nation Radio. Yeah.
Welcome back in, Predneck Nation. Hey, I'm your host and Captain Crazy Charlie Saunier. Victor Arvidsson bringing us back from break now with 2 goals against San Jose the other night, and he is becoming a true Sharks killer as his career develops. Now, on the season, you look at Victor Arvidsson, 31 goals. That is just too shy of the Nashville Predators single-season franchise record. I think there's no doubt that he gets there. A man who discussed this very topic with me the other morning, and now he's already halfway there from where we talked about it on just Saturday. He is, of course, Mastrodamus. On Twitter, at GreekGoalie35, he is the starting goaltender of Predneck Nation. He's here to talk to me about all things Nashville Predators hockey. How you doing today, my friend?
Charlie, always good to know that we have some normal start times the rest of the way. How are you?
It's outstanding to see that. And for this Nashville Predators team, well, they went out there, and thankfully for everybody, that Saturday night game was the San Jose game, because that was the one on the road trip worth staying up to watch. Let's just start with that first line right there. Victor Arvidsson brought us back from break, picks up number 30 and 31 on the season. Forsberg also goal and assist. Johansson and assists overall. That leads the first line. 3 goals, 2 assists, 6 shots on goal. And Greg, overall, when you look at their time on ice, a couple of minutes lower than they would have in your normal game. So the first line, getting it done for the Nashville Predators, as you would expect.
Yeah, economical performance by that first line as well. I mean, typically we're looking at them in 19 to 20, 21 minutes of ice time. But, you know, for the Forsberg, for instance, under 18 minutes, I mean, that's pretty impressive work by the Preds. I mean, on the road in a tough environment, really have set the Sharks in a little bit of a tailspin as after last night as well. But look, that place has been a house of horrors for this team since day one. They go in there, I think it's only their 13th win all time in San Jose. Obviously, we know about their playoff record there. They haven't won there yet, but that's a big victory. I mean, when you go on a road trip like that and you lose that first game to Anaheim, who was a terrible team, and you struggle with LA to kind of put them away, and you go into San Jose, you don't expect much of anything. But I would argue that that San Jose win, really, I mean, obviously it's a good for the road trip, but they come back with 4 out of 6 points. This is much more impressive of a 4 points out of 6 than if they had just gone status quo and won the first two and then lost to San Jose, because we would have all been like, well, yeah, you beat the bad teams, but you really flopped against the good one. Great job by the Preds to come back with a victory and close out that road trip on a high note.
I've listed it as one of the top five games in total overall performances of this season for the Nashville Predators. And we see UC Saros, three starts against the Sharks this season, ends up going 1-2. This game, much different. In the previous two games, the Sharks had put up a five spot on the board in each. In this one, Greg, 24 out of 26 for UC Saros. That means two goals against. I felt like he was very strong doing what he does best, tracking the puck. His edge work was good, and especially those high danger scoring chances in close, he was very strong on those. Thomas Hertl and UC Saros, I have a feeling, are going to go up against each other for the next generation.
Hertl, I've said it before the game, Thomas Hertl has really developed into one of the young, bright young stars in this league. I mean, like I said, 31 goals this season, kind of quietly doing it in San Jose, where not a whole lot of people recognize it, but he's fantastic. We saw the kind of power forward he is, where he just kind of skates in this little semicircle around the defense, but it didn't matter who it was, whether it was Ellis, whether it was Subban, he can use his power to get to the front of the net, and he has the skill set to make things happen and put pucks in the net. So great job by the Preds to keep them off the scoreboard. Only two goals. Not to mention, only five shots on goal in the third period when it was tied going to the third. Phenomenal job by the Preds to lock things down, and we've seen it from them before. They swept Tampa Bay this year. That's what they did. They locked things down in the third period when it was a tight game. Kudos to them again. Shut down that dangerous San Jose team, keeping only five shots on goal the rest of the way.
Let's just follow up right on that total team defense. You mentioned the shots on goal in the third period. Overall, for the Nashville Predators, it wasn't just the defensemen, though. I felt that overall as a group, they were as good as they've been in a while. But the forwards were incredibly active with their sticks. They were limiting time and space, and they were taking the body. I felt that, Greg, this was the first time in several weeks that we've seen a total commitment to team defense by the entire group. Lines 1-4 and D pairs 1-3. And the Preds and the Sharks are very, very good hockey teams. So for the Preds to be able to hold San Jose to two goals in their home rink and five shots on goal in the third period, mighty impressive overall team effort.
Yeah, this team is at its best when they are a five-man unit in their own zone. I mean, Laviolette talks about it all the time, that they're a five-man offensive zone team. You got to be a five-man defensive zone team, too, because you need help from the forwards to block shots, take away those shooting lanes, and make things difficult and force the opposition to be a little bit more patient and go along the boards, keep things out of those high-danger areas. And we've seen the Sharks, this is their MO. They take those shots from the point, and they get a lot of traffic in front of the net looking for deflections. Preds defense did a good job of pushing those guys out of the way, letting Saros see the puck, didn't let them get a whole lot of chances with those deflections on net. And when they did, Saros, of course, with his puck tracking, was there to stop it. So great job again. Can't say enough about the type of victory that is for the Preds against a very difficult San Jose team, which a lot of people think are the odds-on favorite to go to the Stanley Cup Final out of the West.
And I think Ellis was one of the best overall out of the defensemen on the ice that night. He had four shots on net, blocked two shots, two hits, 22:37 in time on ice. And yes, I know it seems like he may have lost coverage in the slot at one point, but that was actually a brilliant stick lift on that play by a very good San Jose unit. So I'm not going to critique Ellis too hard on that one. Sometimes the offensive player just gets the best of you. But I felt that Ellis was very good in that game. And Greg, if you look at it, Ellis making another late season charge, now suddenly 31 assists, 37 points. Very quietly, he's been adding up those points recently.
Very quietly indeed, because largely his season has been a major disappointment, particularly the first half, of course, where he just seemed invisible out there. And we saw what happened when he came back in from an injury last season, the second half of the season. He was absolutely on fire. If he had played the entire season in 2018, you're looking at a possible Norris Trophy candidate. And this season, huge disappointment as the season has gone on. Kudos to Laviolette for keeping their minutes down where they still have the energy and the passion and the drive to finish these games and to play these types of minutes and to keep putting up points late in the season. They're not getting worn down where we've seen before other teams, Ryan Suter, Drew Doughty, those guys playing 30 minutes a night on average. These top four guys are playing 22, 23 minutes. I mean, extrapolate that over a whole season, that's several games worth of ice time that they're not playing out there because they're getting a little bit more balanced. So, like what I've seen out of Ellis here as of late, would like them to finish strong and see much better playoff performance than we did last year.
Mastrodama, speaking of players playing better as of late, Colton Sissons picks up another goal in this game. 3 shots on net, 2 hits, 13-50, 1 time on ice, also 7-3 in the faceoff circle. That's 70% for the game. I don't like that Colton Sissons seems to need to have his job threatened to get a fire lit under him. I think he's a better player than that. He seems to struggle for overall consistency throughout the season.
Colton Sissons, we've seen before, has been pushed into top line duty, second line duty. And look, yes, does it take sometimes a little bit to light a fire on him to get going? Yeah, it certainly seems that way. I don't think that's a coincidence that he suddenly starts contributing offensively when things kind of like, oh, there's a little bit of tension going on. There's guys getting benched. There's Mike Fisher coming back. I need to work my ass off to make sure I can keep playing. And sure enough, he starts putting the puck in the net. But again, credit to his line mates, too, because Craig Smith has been up there with Turris and Fiala most of the season. And suddenly, Craig Smith finds himself with Sissons and Yarncroke. I've always liked Sissons and Yarncroke together for the last several seasons. Every time they're put together, seems like they play a very solid 200-foot type game, and they can contribute with putting pucks in the net. So you add Smith to that with a little bit more of a sniper on that role. That's a very dangerous second line, third line, whatever you want to call them. But that whole line was absolutely huge on this West Coast trip.
We see the Maple Leafs coming in tonight. Preds, of course, going into Toronto with the 4-0 victory. Pekarinen got that start. Greg, 18 saves in the game. Ekholm, Subban, Sissons, Fiala, each with a goal and one of the best efforts of the season. That made my top five list, as well as the San Jose game from Saturday. So, Mastrodamas, you are, of course, a man so far ahead in the future. You're going to tell us everything that's going to happen tonight at Bridgestone Arena. The Nashville Predators back from a West Coast road trip after the SEC basketball tournament cleared out of Bridgestone Arena. Tonight, they'll welcome in the original 6 Toronto Maple Leafs, also hoping for bigger things this season with the Preds. 3 points out of first place behind Winnipeg. Mastrodamas, tell the people everything that's going to happen tonight at Bridgestone Arena.
Well, I don't think the Preds are going to hold them to 18 shots on goal. That was one of those types of games where just absolute commitment to total defense. Toronto didn't get a sniff in that game. And Toronto right now has been struggling mightily. They have another game tomorrow night at Buffalo, so they'll be traveling. It's a division rival. You know they're going to get up for that one. So I wouldn't say this is a trap game because they've played so poorly of late defensively. That's something to watch out for. I mean, Freddie Anderson has been pulled in 2 of his last 3 starts. And the one start that he played, he gave up 6 goals and won a 7-6 game against Philadelphia. So he's been struggling big time here as of late. I expect a high-scoring game, particularly from the Pred side of things. They need to take advantage of the fact that Toronto's in a little bit of flux right now. They're locked into that second or third position. They're going to be third position in the Atlantic Division. They're going to be playing Boston in the first round. So they're kind of playing it and kind of winding down the clock for the playoffs. But they're getting in some bad habits. Look for the Preds to take advantage of that tonight. Take advantage of a team that's looking forward to playing at Buffalo and looking for a victory there. Preds should win this one 4-2.
I'd also expect to see the Preds come out with a little bit of boost being back on home ice and being back in the Central Time Zone for the first time in a while. So expecting a big one tonight at Bridgestone Arena. Mastrodamas, always good to see the Maple Leafs come on into town. They'll bring a big crowd, and it'll be a fun night over at Bridgestone Arena. On Twitter, at GreekGoalie35, that's how you can keep up with Mastrodamas in between radio shows. He's always up for the interactions. Just make sure you bring a strong opinion. Mastrodamas, appreciate you. We'll be recapping this one, and we'll be talking about those Pittsburgh Penguins on Thursday morning right here at 5 a.m. Nashville Sports Radio. Appreciate you, my friend.
Can't wait. Let's do it again Thursday.
Mastrodamas right there. The ultimate Predator in the first period, Brandon Felder, coming up in the third period. You know, those are the Renegades of Puck and me. I am your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Saunier. Remember, you can always check us out, WNSR.com. We have a Predneck Nation page right there. You can get to the link to the merchandise from there, and you can always check out great t-shirts. We got all kinds of good merchandise. It's about to be that season, so pick up some fresh gear, get yourself a brand new t-shirt, and represent the Renegades of Puck and Predneck Nation Radio out there as you're heading to games all around Smashville. Felder coming up in the third period. We'll get right to that here on Predneck Nation Radio on Nashville Sports Radio.
Hi, this is Pete Weber, the Nashville Predators. You're listening to Predneck Nation Radio.
Welcome back in, Predneck Nation Radio. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Saunier. Pete Weber, the voice of the Nashville Predators, bringing us back from break right there. And as a celebration of 90s night at Bridgestone Arena, Pete Weber, Terry Crith going to be back on the call for the first time in quite some time. And for Nashville Predators fans, that will be bringing back tons of incredible memories. And I think they should just let those two finish out the season and continue on calling the games. I like a couple of the guys on the new broadcast team, but I think you should just go back to the classics. I'll always love those fellas. Always have a soft spot for Pete and Terry, as will many of you. I got a soft spot for this guy, too. He's the OG of hockey coverage here at Nashville Sports Radio. He is, of course, Brandon Felder. You can find him on Twitter at Brandon_Felder, or you can listen to him right here on the third period of this radio show all season long. Brandon, how are you doing today, my friend?
Good morning, Charlie. I'm doing great. I appreciate your love of the classic.
Absolutely. 90s night, Brandon. It should be fun. We should see a lot of throwbacks, a lot of the old uniforms, and a lot of fun stuff. And I know you got down there and started covering the team just before the end of the 90s, the early 2000s. So before we get into the heavy topics, share some of your fond memories of those early years of this franchise.
Well, I think most importantly is what you said about the two commentators tonight, Pete Weber, Terry Criss. I mean, they have truly informed a fan base and helped a fan base grow to know a game and be passionate about a game and be able to have some laughs while you're watching a game and be able to not take yourself too seriously. And I think one of the key things for the Nashville Predators was, A, you got a head coach that was perfect for expansion and perfect for this market and being willing to to explain the game in, press conferences. But B, you got a team of commentators that could not fit better for what you had going. So, I think we really undervalue what Pete Weber and Terry Criss have done for the Nashville Predators franchise, for the fan base. And it's going to be nice to be able to hear them again. It's going to really feel nice.
And let's not forget what Pete Weber did to create the Renegades of Puck and for Predneck Nation Radio, because if it wasn't for a conversation with Pete Weber a few months after I moved to Nashville down on the event level, when you were still allowed to go down to the event level at Bridgestone Arena, everybody wanted autographs from players, me. I wanted to talk to the broadcasters and the media types, and it was Pete Weber, Brandon, who took the time, stopped. And back in the day, especially, Brandon, when you were writing your column, there were plenty of those guys who would look down their nose at you, snicker, sneer, and walk off and not offer any bit of assistance or help. Pete Weber, after calling a game, and we all know a long day at the rink, Pete stops, tells me exactly who to call, gives me my first break here in this Nashville market. And if it wasn't for that moment in time, Predneck Nation Radio probably never would have existed. So there will always be a soft spot for Pete Weber. And Terry Crisp has always been willing to come on this show, and he has the right disposition for each and every Renegade of Puck. All right, Brandon, 90s night. It's going to be fun, but unless the Nashville Predators come out there and put on a significant effort against the Toronto Maple Leafs, you can put on all the gimmicks and all the scoreboard junk you want, and it won't mean a thing at the end of the night if the Nashville Predators don't come out of this thing with a victory. So let's cover a couple of concepts right now, and Kyle Turris has to be the biggest question mark. A couple of healthy scratches. Brandon, listen, you and I have talked about Kyle Turris many a times. We know he's a much better hockey player than what we have seen. As a man, this has to be killing him, sitting out of the lineup, watching his team win against San Jose the other night and not being a part of it. Kyle Turris moving forward, Peter Laviolette, what do you think the Nashville Predators are going to do with him?
Well, I think the biggest thing is, for Peter Laviolette, he's looked at it as, I had two games where I scratched him and two games that I won. And so that's not going in his favor. And sometimes, that coaches like to just stick with the trend. And if they're winning, they don't like to make changes to lineups, even though, they might want to. I know that Kyle Turris, for those that subscribe to The Athletic, his comments to Adam Vingan were very interesting in the fact of, he talks about that he's a positive person, but he doesn't see a lot of positives out of being scratched. And I can appreciate that. I mean, this is it's a wake-up moment for Kyle Turris. And look, at the end of the day, people, have to realize the talent is still there. It's just a matter of putting the pieces together. And it's kind of like Kevin Fiala earlier this year when we were talking about, the talent is there, the ceiling, he could produce. But is his confidence where it needs to be? Is he able to do the things that can have him perform on a consistent basis? And so right now, the answer is no for Kyle Turris. I think a lot of people are forgetting just how important he was when he got traded to Nashville last year. Yes, the playoffs were not good for him, and since then has not been perfect for him by any stretch, but that first, you know, couple butts were, boy, I mean, you want to talk about, we were talking about Turris time all the time. Every game it felt like he was having an impact, and he really sparked that second line and helped Craig Smith and Kevin Fiala have a really big regular season last year. And so, look, it's there. The talent is there. It's just a matter of getting out of your own head, not squeezing the stick, being able to just go play naturally and do the things that you're supposed to do. And so in terms of tonight, my guess would be that he'll be a scratch again just because Nashville's won the last two games.
And Kyle Turris, I mean, we know, you mentioned it, when he first got here, he had a point streak for quite some time, so he's got the ability, but whatever, his confidence took a big hit during the playoffs last year, and it just seems like he hasn't recovered, plus injuries this season. He still has an opportunity, and when he gets back in the lineup, we need to see some real serious fire out of him, whenever that may be. I'm sure he'll be given an opportunity again before the end of the season, because after all, it's not as if he's done with this Nashville Predators franchise at the end of this season. He's going to be here, as far as his contract is concerned, for quite some time. All right, let's move on to the next topic, and this news came out late yesterday afternoon, and Brandon Austin Watson now released from suspension by the NHL. The Nashville Predators have not put out a statement concerning what his status will be moving forward. I do not think that Austin Watson will come back to the Nashville Predators this season. I do not believe that he will dress in another game this year, but he has been cleared by the NHL from suspension. So Austin Watson, Brandon, back in the news again.
I'm not so sure about that, Charlie, to be honest with you. He might play again. I don't think it'll be tonight, obviously, but I would not be surprised if the last week of the season suddenly he gets a game or two. I think people forget, like, it's a business. It's not personal, it's business, and sometimes when you're in a business, you do things to see if you can get return on investment, see if you have what your asset is, and so, you know, it could be as simple as, hey, let's dress him for the last three games of the regular season, see what we got, and then maybe look at a trade in the offseason type thing. So, a showcase of sorts. Or it could be, let's see what we got and let him play in the playoffs because he was good for us last year in the playoffs. I'm never convinced until a team comes out and says this player is not going to play for our franchise again and they draw that line in the sand publicly. I'm never convinced that a player is not going to play just because at the end of the day, it's professional sports. It is a business. And so you have to realize that there are investments made and sometimes things happen that might not sit well with fans. And so, you know, whether or not I agree or disagree is irregardless because the reality is they're going to do what they're going to do with the situation. And so, you know, their original statement is that they're not going to make further statements and that he's able to play if they want it to. But I also do not see them say that he's not going to. So I'm not convinced to say at this point that he's definitely not going to suit up again.
A business and return on investment are terms that I heard loud and clear right there, Brandon, and I probably have to agree with you, though my opinion is that he shouldn't dress again for the Predators this season, but that's just my opinion. All right, moving on to something positive right here. We've got an opportunity tonight, Predators against the Maple Leafs. I made a list, Brandon, of what I thought were the Preds' top five best overall games or efforts of the season. The previous meeting between these two teams made my list. Also, the win against San Jose on Saturday night made the list. I go back earlier in the season, the 3-0 win versus Winnipeg early on October 11th. Then on Halloween, a 4-1 win at Vegas. And then November 19th, a 3-2 win versus Tampa Bay. Factoring in the competition, factoring in the way that the team played, a total effort here. So for the Nashville Predators, that game against San Jose makes my top five list overall for this season. Absolutely a great performance team-wise, start to finish.
Yeah, those are good selections. Another one that I might put in there was there was a game against Montreal that was particularly good, but those are all really good selections. And you know, last week we said if they can get 4 points out of six on the road trip, then we should be satisfied. And so, yeah, it didn't start the way that you would hope for against Anaheim, but at the end of the day, they got the 4 points out of six, so we should be satisfied. You know, there's still areas to improve. And then I think the biggest thing with tonight is Toronto has been scuffling as of late. They're not exactly where they were. I mean, they just lost this past Saturday, like 6-2 against Ottawa, and that's after Ottawa has traded away most of their high firepower. And especially within the last 4 to 5 games here, Toronto's been giving up goals like it's, you know, Christmas, and they're just gifting things to the other team. And so they're really trying to figure things out here before these final 3 weeks conclude, before they get into the playoffs, because as we all know, with the way the divisions work, Toronto's probably going to have to face Tampa at some point if they can get past the first round. So it's going to be very interesting to see, you know, what Mike Babcock does with this team, because right now the defense from the team is not there. So you might have yourself a really high-scoring game tonight. I mean, the last time Toronto won, it was 7-6 against Philadelphia. That's a lot of goals. And so, you know, it could be a really, really interesting game. I think one of the things that will also be interesting to monitor over the next 3 weeks for the Predators is just which goaltender gets which matchups. That's going to be very interesting for me. I do think there is a chance that Laviolette does something a little more interesting than we're used to here in the final 3 weeks. And so I'll be monitoring that as well. But tonight is a really good opportunity to take advantage of a team that's still trying to find its identity. I would say that Nashville is still kind of in that place, but I do feel like when you have a win like San Jose, that you can use that to springboard and really have find confidence and prove who you are as a team. And so if you can follow up from that San Jose win and build upon it, then I really feel like you've taken a big step towards finding, you know, what Nashville Predators hockey looks like in the 2018-19 season.
Brandon, the Maple Leafs are sitting at 91 points in the Atlantic Division. If they were in the Central Division, they would be currently in first place. But in the Atlantic, that's third place. And I don't even know if I can do this much math, Brandon. The Tampa Bay Lightning have 116 points. It is just incredible. It's unbelievable. And they're seriously making a run at that mid-90s Red Wings team, which we really thought was pretty untouchable. But this Tampa Bay Lightning team is about as special as they get.
It's basically at this point, it's just, the idea is, can anybody actually beat that team four times in one particular series? And it feels like, no, there's no way. I mean, you really want to feel weird about things. Take a look at Nikita Kucherov's points and then how many points the leader is for the Nashville Predators. And it's a significant gap. Let's just say that. And so, yeah, it's a totally different beast in the East this year. And Tampa is looking like they are world beaters. I mean, they clinched the President's Trophy last night. And there's still 3 weeks left in the season. So, and that just goes to prove just how good they are this season. It is, I think we forget that Nashville, you know, took care of them early on in the season, and so that was very fortunate for Nashville that they can claim a couple of victories against Tampa. But I tell you what, this team looks like world beaters right now.
They've won 5 in a row. Of course they have. They've also scored 287 goals on the season at home. They're 31-6-2. They've got 25 road victories, 56-13-4 on the year. It's just simply incredible. And I know every night you see the scoreboard tracker and you look down and you go, yeah, well, what a shock. Tampa Bay scored 6 goals tonight and got a victory. But it is truly impressive, and they are a great hockey club to watch if you've got an extra couple of minutes to tune into some Eastern Conference hockey before the playoffs. Now, Brandon, let's quickly look at the Central Division. Over in the Western Conference, Winnipeg continues to play good hockey again. Now, they were struggling for a little while, as were the Preds. Now the Jets have won 3 in a row. The Preds have won 2 in a row. That puts the separation at 3 points between Winnipeg and Nashville, 90-87. Winnipeg's played one less game than Nashville, but that gap has finally closed. It sat at 3, seemingly forever. St. Louis still in there, but at 82 points, points, not nearly as big a threat as they were, say, 2 weeks ago. And, of course, then you drop down to the wild card, and Dallas and Minnesota are still highly competitive. So the Central Division, while down overall in total points this season compared to the other divisions, the Central Division still has a fantastic finish coming up. Oh, and by the way, Preds going to Winnipeg Saturday night. That game has some pretty big implications.
It does, and I also think when you look at the schedule, the last week for Nashville has some very favorable opponents and matchups, so they have a real chance the last week of the season to gain 6 points. So you're looking at this week and next week to really determine where you're gonna slot yourself, because you can go into that last week and really take care of business and find a way to, I don't know, potentially win a Central Division. I'd say it's unlikely at this point, but, you know, it's possible. We saw Winnipeg suddenly come back last year at this time of year on Nashville, and who was leading for so long. So it is possible. But I think for me, I'm monitoring more than anything that third place in the wild card and seeing if anybody's going to catch the Blues and if the Blues are going to slip, because it does look like the bloom is off the rose, so to speak, with some of the goaltending for the Blues, and they're turning back to Jake Allen and less to Jordan Binnington. And so it's going to be interesting to see what happens with them down the stretch. This is the best time right here, you know, mid-March to beginning of April before the playoffs. This is the games that are the most impactful, the most meaningful, and you get the best efforts. So that's where Nashville can come in and prove that, hey, you know what, we do have that next level. So that's what we're all going to be looking for tonight. It starts tonight with, can you find that next level, and can you beat a team that is struggling right now and take care of your own business?
It's a fantastic time of year. In the Central tonight, besides the Predators being on the ice against the Leafs, St. Louis will host Edmonton, Colorado is in Minnesota, and Florida will be in Dallas. The Jets back on the ice tomorrow night, late night at Anaheim. So Preds, Jets alternating game days this week until they meet up on Saturday night. Brandon, very outstanding hockey conversation this morning. I always look forward to these segments and appreciate you very much. On Twitter, of course, at Brandon_Felder, always up for the interaction and always deep with the analysis, thoughts, and opinions. Thank you so much, my friend. I enjoy talking pucks with you so much.
Thank you, Charlie. It's been a pleasure as always. Everybody enjoy your hockey tonight. I think it really should be a very entertaining game with a lot of scoring chances.
Brandon Felder right there. Mostradamus in the second period. The ultimate Predator went all macho man and got you fired up for a 90s night in Smashville. And you know me, I am your host and your captain, Crazy Charlie Saunier. I got to tell you real quick, on the way out the door, something funny happened on the way into the show this morning. Maybe it would be not so funny if I hadn't recovered, but somehow getting into studio, working away, writing the show, turn around and look, and all of the files for Predneck Nation were deleted. Now, this is only funny because I told you guys like 2-3 weeks ago that we bought a gigantic hard drive and collected all of the Predneck Nation files, archives, and database. So we have all of these things backed up, but the studio computer, which is where the show is operated out of, that's how I produce the show each and every game day here in Smashville, 5 a.m. Encore presentations at 6, by the way, on demand, SoundCloud, and iTunes. So the entire folder for Predneck Nation somehow got deleted. Hey, maybe that's a rib and it's a good prank by somebody else at the station in the business, but I gotta tell you, you can't stop the Renegades of Puck by doing something as simple as taking our map or our game plan away. The Renegades of Puck will never be stopped. We're in this trench for the long haul, and if you think something like losing a couple of files is gonna stop me, well then just stand back and watch, because we just did an entire radio show off of a thumb drive. That's right, always gonna have your backup files, people. Always got to be prepared. Now, I got to go figure out how in the hell I'm going to produce the next 6 hours of radio here, because there were other files besides Predneck Nation radio that got disappeared right there. So, hope you got a good chuckle out of that. No half-stepping, people. Don't let losing files stop you. It doesn't matter. Sometimes there's going to be speed bumps in the way. There's going to be things that bother you during the day. Don't let it get to you. Renegades of Puck, dig in. It's that time of year. Nashville Predators have every opportunity to finish off this division and win the Central over the Winnipeg Jets. Predneck Nation Radio right here, Nashville Sports Radio. You can always check us out, WNSR.com. Please check out that merch link and get a t-shirt for the nice warm spring season that's coming up here in a couple of days. And remember, you can always listen to this radio show right here, live at 5 on game days, encore presentation, 6, SoundCloud, iTunes, all that, Twitter, SoundCloud. We're always available to you. And remember, if you got the fire, you got the fear, you got the passion, I certify you a renegade of puck. Jump on in the trench with us each and every game day right here on Nashville Sports Radio.